This is ACC Nation.
Welcome into ACC Nation. I'm Patrick, and Evil Q is joining me in studio. And Q, we got to talk about, I don't even know how to bring this up, your manicure. Yeah, I thought you were a manly man. So what I've always thought, I've known you for two decades or more, and I've always thought the Q is a manly man.
And you know what?
And you come in today and say, look at my fingernails, you got a manicure.
This is why they call it a manicure. Maybe
I'm not buying that.
Maybe it cures you of being a man.
Let me look at him.
Dude,
let me see.
Let me just tell you that the fact that there's women in there.
They look nice.
The estrogen in this room was just overpowering. How could I say no?
You're supposed to do it like a man. Here's what I do. I take the scissors, I cut them, and if I got anything jagged, I get a filing thing, and I just file it off. And that's it. That's how I handle it.
You're scary.
No, it's just, that's a man. But that's the way a man handles things.
But you got to admit, that's almost a George Costanza hand.
You could model that hand right there.
Well, one of
them. Do you need an oven mitt? I think we have one upstairs we could put on your hand.
I'll take it.
Coming up on the show today, we'll talk some Virginia football with Rob Mahaney of the Good Old Blog. He is at the Saber.com. You can check that out. Andrew Carter of the Orlando Sentinel going to talk some Florida State football with us. Eventually, we'll have to talk about all the off-field problems they're having. They've got academic advisors that have been fired or resigned. They've got athletes that are in trouble. It's just a mess down there right now. Plus, the football team has a linebacker who, here's the punishment. He got arrested for a bar fight last weekend. His punishment is he's not going to start the game. He's going to play. He's just not going to start it. Doesn't even say he's going to set out a quarter. I think Virginia Tech has a player that's being suspended this week for a quarter, and then he's coming back. Geno Hayes could come back on the second set of downs. He could come back on the second play of the game, I guess.
This is a topic for another show. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. We don't have the time today. But, yes, that is definitely the disciplinary practices of big-time college football coaches. We'll talk about it. Bobby Bowden, though, says that Geno Hayes is running. He's been running steps. And that should be punishment enough. I don't know. They handle it in-house. You going to question Bobby Bowden? I don't think so. It's Bobby Bowden.
Bobby Bowden.
Coming up on the show, also, we've got the Sound and Fury. We've got some calls on the buzz line, 206-202-1706. If you have comments or questions for either one of us or just thoughts, just go ahead and the thoughts have to be out loud, though, because it doesn't work well on a phone if it's not out loud. But 206-202-1706, we'll play a few comments. We've got lots more on The Nation. Keep it here.
We want to hear from you. Comment at accnation.com. This is ACC Nation, the nation's hottest multimedia sports franchise, ACC Nation, where you'll find worldwide access to America's hottest sports conference, the ACC, through our website, blogs, podcasts, radio, and at myspace.com/ACC Nation. Now, ACC Nation with Patrick Height.
Coming up on the show, we got a busy, busy show today. We've got more show than North Carolina State has problems with their defense.
That's drastic.
See, I've been working on that for a while. Did it work? I figured it would fall flat.
You thought about that all day.
I've been thinking about it all day. And I thought I would either go with North Carolina State's defense or perhaps Virginia Tech's offensive line. But anyway, I settled on NC State. But we've got Andrew Carter of the Orlando Sentinel coming up. We'll talk about Florida State, Alabama eventually, but we've got all these Florida State off-field problems that we'll have to talk to him about before that. We've also got the Sound of Fury. We've got Around ACC Nation. We've got some listener comments off the buzz line that we want to get to and also off the blog. But I want to start with the University of Virginia. I actually had a chance to go to Charlottesville last weekend, watch Virginia. By the way, we owe the Evil Q some props.
Thank you.
You called it. You called Virginia upsetting Georgia Tech.
That's right.
I saw that game. Virginia bolted out to a 21. They had 21 points in the first quarter after falling behind 7-0. They had a couple of offensive touchdowns, defensive touchdowns. Then they held on. They finally win. Let's bring in our friend Rob Mahaney of the Good Old Blog. You can check that out at thesaber.com. And Rob, are you surprised that we are talking about a 3-1 Virginia football team?
I'm very surprised. I'm equally surprised that I'm on the air at all talking about Virginia football. I thought the next time you guys would call me to have me on the air would be, you know, sometime around November, December to talk about a different UVA coach playing in the JPJ Arena. But
you're not much of an optimist, Rob.
Well, it's a pleasant surprise, let's put it that way. After that Wyoming game, a lot of our hearts fell, and hey, we're 3-0 in the conference right now, so call me an optimist now.
Okay, let me ask you this then. 3-0 in the conference, is it realistic to say Virginia is a contender in the Coastal? Because right now they've beaten three of the teams. The other two are Virginia Tech and Miami, and Miami has shown they have problems. You know, I don't know which Miami team's for real, the one that played Oklahoma or the one that played Texas A&M. And Virginia Tech has its share of problems so far. So, you know, it may be a little too optimistic to say Virginia's going to win the Coastal, but I think we'd have to say they're contenders, right?
Yeah, I think any team that at this point is 3-0, we've already banked three wins, and one contender, Georgia Tech, is down at 0-2, so it's realistic to say we're contenders. I'd like to see us play a little better. I'd like to see Virginia win some games in the meat of the conference schedule before we start talking about beating Miami in the last game of the Orange Bowl and being competitive against the Virginia Tech team that's owned UVA, frankly, recently, unfortunately. But, you know, I think it is fair to say that they're competitive. They're definitely starting to take steps of progress in the right direction. Mistakes that we saw at Wyoming were corrected the next week. Mistakes at Duke were corrected the week after that. And, you know, if they can keep this trend line going, we might be in good shape.
Rob Mahaney of the good old blog and thesaber.com joining us here on The Nation. What's been the real reason for this turnaround? Can we pin it all on Jameel Sewell? I mean, he struggled in that first Wyoming game, struggled enough that it looked like Peter Lalik was going to take over at quarterback. But he seemed to have straightened his game out. Can we say that's the main reason Virginia's turned it around, or are there other things?
I think that's a significant reason. I think we would be remiss not to mention Cedric Pierman as well.
Yes.
He really is the driving force of the offense right now. He wasn't really part of the game plan at Wyoming. Maybe some credit goes to the coaching staff to remember that they had a running game after the Wyoming debacle and employing it to full effect in the last three games. I think a good mixture of Cedric Pierman on offense, Sewell starting to get a better handle of the game, has contributed to this winning streak. And on the flip side, the defense is just playing with reckless abandon and on the front line. When you've got two linemen like Chris Long and Fitz just creating havoc in the backfield, it makes it a lot harder for a team to come back when Cedric Pierman is ripping off 100-yard, 150-yard games.
And since you bring it up, Jeffrey Fitzgerald, does he get maybe not as much credit as he deserves because Chris Long is on that defense as well?
I guess I wouldn't use the words as much as he deserves because Long deserves everything he gets.
Sure.
But Fitzgerald is younger than Long. He's got a few more years left. If I remember correctly, I think he's a sophomore or a junior?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm embarrassed that I don't know that off the top of my head. But I think he'll get his due when Long is ripping up quarterbacks in the NFL.
Now, back to the quarterback question. Do you think that that Al Groh burned Peter Lalik's red shirt too early, maybe jumped the gun a little bit, or is that even a problem? I mean, because right now it looks like Jameel Sewell could be the sole quarterback. I think they'll continue to switch probably for a while, but I think Jameel Sewell could handle it by himself, and maybe they burned a red shirt a little early, or is that just crazy talk?
It's not crazy talk, since I said the same thing on the blog.
There you go, see? Wow.
So I don't like calling myself crazy on the air. I'll do it on the blog, but not on the air.
I do that on the air all the time. I call myself crazy.
But you know, I think it's a legitimate concern because when it first happened, you know, I threw my hands up in the air and thought Al Groh was crazy. Then the Duke game happened, and I sort of jumped in the other direction. I think a lot of us sort of jumped the gun and thought Lalik was the savior, but Sewell, you know, deserved some time to work out his kinks, and he is definitely playing a lot better than he did in the Wyoming game. He could manage the offense in a way that could get us the amount of wins we need to get this program back to where it needs to be in 2007, and because of that, burning Lalik's red shirt may have been premature. We don't know that yet. I mean, it could be that, you know, Lalik does end up being the quarterback this year down the road. But, you know, as it looks right now, I agree with you. It looks like Sewell is the man Lalick hasn't looked that great in the past two games, which is understood. He's a true freshman. So if it turns out this year that we burn Lalick's red shirt for a bunch of meaningless snaps, and it would be problematic and something that might haunt the program down the road. As one prominent poster and article writer over at the Sabre says a lot, you try not to trade a guy's worst season for his best season, and that may be what we did with Lalick by trading in this true freshman season for that now hypothetical fifth year if he had been around.
Rob Mahaney of the Sabre.com. You can check out his blog at the Sabre.com, the good old blog. And this weekend, Virginia is at home against Pittsburgh. And in fact, they've got three non-conference games in a row now. Any worry that that might take a little bit of the momentum that they've gained from winning three straight conference games away?
Only if we lose. I think we certainly would lose some momentum if we drop some of these games. If we win them, then I think we got a ton of momentum. 6-0 in the past, six-game winning streak, be 6-1 overall heading into that next conference game. And we certainly would love to have momentum like that. But, you know, if we drop one or two of them, which is a realistic possibility given our track record in out-of-conference games in the past few years, you know, then we might be back to square one, and all of the Sabre fans out there who are jumping around for joy might be calling for some firings again, if you know what I mean.
Now, this game Saturday night, tell us a little bit about Pittsburgh. I would guess coming into this game about a month ago, you might have thought that Al Groh was going to be the coach on the hottest seat of these two, but Dave Wannstedt now is certainly on the hot seat with Pittsburgh. They are struggling. Tell us a little bit about the Panthers.
Well, it seems like that Dave Wannstedt or the mustache, whatever you want to call him, he's maybe taking the approach from Al Groh last season and sort of mortgaging this season as a rebuilding year, which bodes well for the Hoos if he's going in with younger talent and trying to rebuild. And, you know, that's an excuse to get you a year, maybe two tops, but you better start showing a trend line upward. So you might be facing some hostile atmosphere in Charlottesville, 7 p.m. game with a charged atmosphere and a resurgent Wahoo team. I think you might be in a little bit of trouble. But if he's told everybody back home it is a rebuilding year, they might lay off of him. But, you know, it's tough to call this year rebuilding year in Pittsburgh when it's not like he's been tromping all over the BCS bowl games lately. So,
oh, hopefully he doesn't break out the line. Now we're playing 2007 with 2008 players. So.
I'd recommend him not to, since it didn't work,
as a fall for
the last coach.
That's right. Hey, Rob, we appreciate your time very much, and maybe we'll get you back on and talking about a Virginia bowl game or something here soon, and we'll certainly have you back on and talk some basketball. We're like a couple of months away from basketball season, so.
We just got a big commit today, so I won't take up too much more of your time.
No, but, who? Tell us about that.
Well, UVA picked up Sylvan Landisberg. He was being recruited by he chose UVA between Georgia Tech and I think St. John's, which is his hometown school, and he's a top 50 guy. So definitely a big day for Dave Leto. So while we celebrate a winning streak on the football side of things, we also had a good recruiting day today. So looking forward to the basketball season already.
Great news. And if Virginia can get a win over Pittsburgh this weekend, along with that basketball news, well, all will be happy in Whoville, I guess.
At least for 1 week.
Rob, we appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Rob Mahaney of the Sabre.com. It's the good old blog. You can check that. He's got some great stuff on there. And if you
wonder where he got that, the good old blog.
You know, it's the good old song.
Okay.
Do you get that? The good old song,
okay.
Virginia.
Yeah, all right.
the evil cues.
I had a brain.
You know, you're just not. you're not a Wahoo.
I'm really not a who.
But again, check it out. It's thesaber.com, and you can go, and I think at the top there it says blog, and click on that, and all kinds of good stuff from Rob. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get some comments off the buzz line. And also some comments off our blog, because we got a blog too at accnation.com. We've got some comments. We'll see what the listeners have to say out there and the readers. That's next on The Nation.
The ACC's hottest blog on accnation.com.
The kids are tired of eating Beanie Weenies, so ACCNation.com and Amazon.com have teamed up to put the best ACC team gear and accessories into your hands. Just click on the check at ACCNation.com.
This is ACC Nation.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast for ACC Nation. All you got to do is go to ACCNation.com. Details on the left-hand side of the page. And the great thing about that, if you subscribe every week, you don't have to worry about searching for the show or when's it going to be up. It's there, and you can open your MP3 player, iTunes.
That's your computer?
That's what we prefer, right. And it automatically downloads. So subscribe to the ACC Nation podcast. I believe we have some more shout-outs from Evil Q.
A few shout-outs to folks stateside, Auburn, Washington, hello, Gurney, Illinois. If I'm not mistaken, there's a big cow in the middle of Gurney. I think I used to live near Gurney. I used to live out in Illinois for a while. Plymouth, Minnesota, and Lexington, Virginia. Also overseas, Singapore, Iran, Perth, Australia. Hi, guys. Mexico. And last week we were talking about where a certain country was, Moldova. I said it was near Ukraine. Well, Ukraine is listening now, too. So
do we get, like, translated? I mean, do they have to translate us?
I have no clue.
I would just love to hear me talking Ukrainian. Is that even the language?
Who knows?
What do they speak in Ukraine?
Well, probably Russian.
Okay, there we go. hey, good job. We give the shout-outs. And last week, you gave a shout-out to Hazen, North Dakota. I guess I'm pronouncing that right.
That's correct.
And we got an email from Mike Tyler. He is actually in South Dakota. But I guess his internet provider is in Hazen, North Dakota. So he is listening in South Dakota. He writes in, my name is Mike, and I recently moved to McLaughlin, South Dakota to teach. The school population is so small that we have students from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade. McLaughlin is located 70 miles south of Bismarck, North Dakota, and 10 miles south of North and South Dakota border. The town is located on the Standing Rock Indian Reservation. He said he wanted to write and tell us that he was a listener and that he wanted to thank ACC Nation for keeping him up to date on the latest happenings in the Atlantic Coast Conference. He says, your podcast is top-notch and always keeps me entertained. I keep a few students informed because they like, get this, they're North Dakota, they're in South Dakota, right? They like Duke, North Carolina, Miami, and Florida State. They just like Miami and Florida State because it's warm. yes, there are ACC fans up here in the middle of nowhere. Keep up the great work, folks. How much did you pay him to write that?
I was going
to
say, the check's in the mail, Mike. Thanks for the email.
So, again, if you hear, you know what? You don't have to wait until you hear your state read out, your city read out as a shout-out to email us. You can email us at any time. But, you know what? If you do hear us give you a shout-out, let us know. And let us know what you think of ACC Nation. There's also another way you can do it. It's called the Buzz Line. It's 206-202-1706. You give us a call. Comments, questions, anything that's on your mind about the ACC, and we will play it. And we actually had a few people call the Buzz Line this week, Q. Uh-oh. And first up, it's Tiger Girl.
Hey, guys. This is Tiger Girl. I just wanted to know Patrick's opinion of the Clemson-Georgia Tech game this weekend. Oh, and by the way, I also want to know, is the Evil Q really evil? Thanks.
So I guess that would be the question that you would have to answer. Is the Evil Q really evil?
Well, I don't know. Patrick, you've known me for at least two decades.
Yes.
And
yes,
I think you're the one who coined the phrase, yes. The Evil Q.
He's evil. That's the answer, yes.
Okay, attested to.
There. Tiger Girl. And as far as your question about Georgia Tech and Clemson, you know, I don't think you have anything to worry about. The Tigers are going to win this weekend. We'll give you some more details later on in the Weekend Skinny. You know, that Tiger Girl sounds like somebody that would like a Weekend Skinny, but we won't go there. We've already gone there, I guess, but now the Evil Q is losing it over there. So anyway, more details on that, but Clemson will win. Clemson's looking good right now. Their offense looks good. James Davis looks good. CJ Spiller looks good. Colin Harper, he's much better than Will Proctor last year. I like Clemson. This Evil Q is still shaking his head. We had another call on the Buzz Line. And this one said nothing about the Evil Q being evil or anything.
Thank goodness.
This is Jared Hatcher from Stanton, Virginia. My question for you guys about the ACC is, do you all think that the move to be a big football super conference has hurt the ACC in terms of basketball? I don't like the round robin schedule not being there anymore in basketball? And do you think that the expansion has helped or hurt the ACC? Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks, Jarrett. As far as expansion, I mean, we've talked about this before. Yeah, I think expansion hurt the ACC, although I think in the long run it's going to help. And I know that sounds weird, but it hurt basketball. I think there's no question. You don't have the round robin now that Jarrett mentioned. And so everybody doesn't play everybody twice. I don't like that. I always loved that about the ACC. But you know what? All the conferences are going to that. So I think it's just part of life. And eventually, football will be good in the ACC. We've struggled the last couple of years. But it's going to get better. I think next year could be a year that it's never going to be. I say never. I don't think it's going to ever be as good as the SEC. The SEC is king when it comes to football. That's plain and simple. But I think it certainly can be on a level even with the Big Ten and the Big 12 and the Pac-10. I mean, those conferences get a lot of the publicity now. The ACC can be right there with them, and I think you'll see the ACC bounce back. So expansion, yeah, in the short run it hurt, but I think in the long run it's still going to help. There's a lot more money coming in, and you know, you look at basketball and you say, well, you got Boston College, they've done pretty good in basketball. You got Virginia Tech, who looked good last year, not going to look good this year, but looked good last year in basketball. And you know, Miami is a team that you would think, if Frank Haith keeps going the direction he's going, they will be a solid team as well. So I think overall, yes, expansion will help down the road, and we'll be happy about it. But you know, I've complained enough about it in the past that, you know, I didn't think that they should have expanded, but they did, and we've got what we've got. I think it'll all work out in the end. Thanks again to Tiger Girl and to Jarrett for giving us a call. You can do so as well. Buzzline 206-202-1706. It doesn't have to be a question either. If you just have your own thoughts about whatever in the ACC, call. You know, we want to hear from you.
I'm still listening. I'm still waiting for Fred Terp to call in, because I really want to hear from Fred Terp. Fred Terp, where are you, man?
202-1706. Again, it's 206-202-1706. Or go to accnation.com. The number is there. Quickly, around ACC Nation, just want to hit a couple of high spots. We do this every morning. All the stories that are fit to be told, some that aren't, you can go there and click on the links. But quickly, some of the stories we're on around ACC Nation this week. No red shirt for Willie Korn, the backup quarterback at Clemson. There was all these conspiracy theories that because he played, the only way they can redshirt him now is a medical redshirt. And then he's been complaining about a shoulder. So all these people said, see, they're going to redshirt him medically. Tommy Bowden says, no, that's not the case. He will not redshirt. Duke trying out kickers. In fact, they're going to take a student, he's just a student at Duke. He tried out. They liked what they saw. And they're going to take him with them to Miami. Whether he gets on the field or not is anybody's guess, but they're going to take him with them. They struggled so much in the kicking game. So that's an interesting story. And also Wake Forest getting away with holding. Ralph Ridgen thinks they might be. You can check that out as well. Again, go to accnation.com every morning around ACC Nation. Other things you might want to check out quickly, the power poll on Mondays, the question of the week on Mondays as well. Who had the worst week? John Tenuta, TJ Yates, Florida State, Tom O'Brien, or Jordan Steffi? Vote in that. The Tuesday 12, we deal with basketball this week, and we go inside the nation with the voice of the Florida Seminoles, Gene Deckerhoff. This guy does Florida State football and Tampa Bay football.
Good Q&A.
That's a great Q&A, and I did that as well, so I probably shouldn't be saying
this. It was great,
stuff.
Then.
Thank you. So make sure you check that out at accnation.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back next. We'll talk some Florida State football with Andrew Carter of the Orlando Sentinel.
Around ACC Nation, find out what's making news 7 days a week. accnation.com. Join us each week up close and personal. Call the accnation.com buzz line at 206-202-1706. That's 206-202-1706. Be a part of ACC Nation at myspace.com/ACC Nation. This is ACC Nation.
Still to come, we have got the weekend skinny. We'll go down all the games in the ACC this weekend and give you our picks. And we've got the Sound and the Fury Redemption Weekend. That's what I'm calling it for the ACC. As far as non-conference games go this weekend, there are some big ones. And if the ACC can pull off, I don't know, 3 or 4 wins, it would be huge for the conference. One of those games is Florida State and Alabama, And let's bring in Andrew Carter now. He covers the Seminoles for the Orlando Sentinel. Andrew, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Great. And now, I want to talk about that game, but I guess we have to talk about all this off-field stuff first. Where do we start? Let's start with Geno Hayes. He was one of two Florida State players arrested last weekend. I guess the status is still that he will not start the game, but he will play. Is that correct?
Right, that is correct. I guess it might have surprised a lot of folks that Coach Bowden elected to not suspend him for this game against Alabama. If you read the police report, it doesn't look too promising, or it didn't look too good for Geno at the time. It didn't look too promising that he would be able to play in this game based on his actions. And obviously, there are two sides to every story, so you don't want to be presumptuous and assume that everything in the police report is correct. But I know a lot of folks were a little bit surprised to see him get off a little bit lightly.
Yeah,
he will be out there.
I was surprised as well. I heard Bobby Bowden say that he thought the big reason, or he thought, you know, one of the reasons he was going to keep him on the team is that, first of all, it's a misdemeanor, I guess, he was charged with. And second, he handles it in-house. He said he handles it by making the players run, is what he said. Is that just Bobby being Bobby?
Yeah, that's just that's coach being coach, as they tell me. Of course, I've only been up here a little while, but, you know, it's no secret that some folks have thought over the years that Coach Bowden's a little bit lax when it comes to disciplining some of his players when it comes to things like this. You're right, Gino's been charged with three misdemeanors. Joe Surratt, the other guy who was arrested, a backup fullback who's hurt right now, out with a broken leg, was charged with a felony, and he can't play. Wouldn't be able to play even if he could, if he were healthy, just because of the university's policy toward felonies. But they leave misdemeanors up to the coaches and the athletic director, and this is what they decided, so that's what they're going to go with.
Yeah, to his credit, he said, if it was a felony, it would have been different. So I guess yeah. We can Bobby Bowden some credit there. The other thing off the field, quickly, do we call it a scandal in the athletics department right now? A couple of employees have resigned. Apparently, it was one class, I guess, an online test that some players received help from. Tell us what's going on there.
Well, there's still a lot of unknowns here. What we do know is that, like you said, two former university employees have resigned in the wake of this. President T.K. Weatherill, president of the university, came forward yesterday during a athletic committee meeting here at Florida State and let everyone know on the athletic committee, which is comprised of a bunch of faculty members and folks in the community, told them basically what had happened. And what had happened was that 23 athletes were involved in academic fraud in varying levels, and these employees who had resigned were helping out these athletes in terms of giving them answers to online quizzes and tests and typing up papers in some instances, and allowing one athlete to say take a quiz, an online quiz for another athlete. So it's not a good situation right now. There are 9 sports involved. I can tell you that none of the athletes include any active members of the men's basketball team or the baseball team or the football team. And I emphasize the word active because there are a couple football players who have not played this year who are suspended, Jocelyn Shaw and Kevin McNeil, wide receiver and defensive end for FSU. And those guys haven't played this year. No one is confirming, of course, that they were wrapped up in this thing, but the key word here is no active players on the football team or men's basketball team are wrapped up in this, but still, of course, a very big deal and something to keep an eye on. You never know how the NCAA is going to handle this kind of thing. They could choose to really crack down, but it seems that FSU has tried to be on the up and up with everything, at least since they found out about this last March.
Well, we certainly will keep an eye on that. Andrew Carter, the Orlando Sentinel, join us. Let's get to the good stuff now, the on-the-field stuff. Florida State in Jacksonville this weekend for that huge game against Alabama. Let's start with the offense. How much did that week off, you think, help this offense that just looked horrible against Colorado in the 16-6 win?
Yeah, it did look horrible, didn't it?
It was just ugly.
I don't know. I mean, you know, we've heard the same thing that's being said over and over and over again up here, and that is just that the guys need a little bit more time to grasp things. They need some. They have to let it sink in their heads and that kind of thing. We've heard this talk repeatedly, and you know, it's hard to say how much this week off has helped them until they get out onto the field on Saturday and show some improvement. And until they do that, I'm always going to be a little bit skeptical. You know, this is an offense that right now is devoid of playmakers, and you got receivers dropping passes by the busload, and you got running backs missing assignments, and offensive linemen missing assignments, and quarterbacks not making the best decisions. So it's kind of an offense that's in a little bit of disarray right now. Certainly it's not where Jimbo Fisher wants it to be, but I do expect them to be a little bit better at least. You know, hopefully for FSU fans, they show some marginal improvement. There's no reason that they shouldn't be better given the week off. And I know they kind of went back to the drawing board in some senses and focused on fundamentals and certain things within the offense that they need to execute better.
Break down this game for us then this weekend. How does Florida State match up with Alabama?
I think they match up fairly well if you just look at it on paper. I think that coming into the season, you know, if you would have looked at this game back in at the start of August on the schedule, you probably would have thought that FSU would have been favored by a good amount. And I think they are actually favored, which doesn't make
a lot of sense. I'm surprised of that, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, frankly. But this is one of those games you thought back then, all right, you know, FSU is a pretty good, decent SEC opponent in Alabama. But a team that FSU should beat. I was at the Lucillette last weekend and watched Alabama play Georgia, and I was very impressed with a lot of the intangible kind of things that they showed in terms of resiliency and together and executing properly and knowing what to do. I think that comes a lot from Coach Saban. Talent-wise, there's no reason at all why FSU shouldn't win this game. I think they match up well in terms of just you know, the physical side of the game and things of that nature. I do think that Alabama has a little bit of an edge, their defensive line against Florida State's offensive line, which has struggled. I think the Crimson Tide could get the best of FSU there up front. But everywhere else, I think they're pretty even, if not FSU being better at most of those other positions. But I just think Alabama's shown a lot more of that, you know, that tough-to-define, intangible-type stuff that you really can't put your finger on. You know, they came back in that Georgia game and almost won that, forced it into overtime. Got it out a pretty gritty victory against Arkansas at home the week before that. And FSU, on the other hand, has kind of been lacking those things. Granted, they had, you know, they did fight back against Clemson and against UAB. But I don't know. I mean, I think they're pretty close, but I give the edge a little bit to Alabama in terms of just where they are as a team right now, cohesiveness.
And this place is going to be packed, right? I mean, they're talking about the largest crowd ever in the stadium history there in Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's going to be the largest crowd ever, which is kind of an amazing thing. And that, you know, there's been Super Bowls there, or a Super Bowl there, I should say, and the many, many Florida Georgia games every year. They sold out this stadium for this game. You know, whenever it was that they put tickets on sale, sold out very quickly, and then they actually made additions to the stands to bring in some temporary seatings, which is why it's going to be the largest crowd ever in history there. I think it's going to be something like 85,000-86,000, which is just mind-blowing. Coach Bowden has said repeatedly this week that, you know, if there were 100,000 fans there, they could fill it up and they'd all be Alabama fans. That's how much interest there is in this game from that part of the world. But also people here are excited about it, too. And of course, it carries a lot of significance for Coach Bowden, given his roots in Birmingham and how close he came to taking the Alabama job 20 years ago. So this is a game he's really looking forward to. He has he kept a scrapbook as a little boy of Alabama football. You know, cut out the newspaper articles and stuff and put it in this book. And he actually still has that book to this day. And he's told some stories recently about how he takes it out every now and then and thumbs through it. Kind of a neat little detail there, I think. And, of course, he was a very large admirer of Coach Bryant, loved Coach Bear Bryant. And, you know, Coach Bowden thought for a long time that might be his destiny to go back there to Tuscaloosa, but it didn't work out, thankfully, for FSU folks.
Yeah, it's worked out pretty well in Tallahassee, I would say. And that you're right, it's big for him personally. It's big for the FSU program. It's big for the ACC. So it's a huge game. Should be a lot of fun. 5 o'clock Saturday, and I think you can actually see that on CBS television. Andrew, we appreciate your time very much.
Okay, Patrick, thank you guys for having me on.
Yep, Andrew Carter of the Orlando Sentinel. He covers Florida State. And we'll actually have some audio from Bobby Bowden here. I think it's coming up in the next segment, talking about, I think, a golf outing with Bear Bryant years ago when they were trying to set up a game between these two programs. Didn't work out then. Finally, they get to play.
I'd be scared the guy would tackle me on the golf course.
For the first time in since 1974, these two programs have played, so it's been a long time. Bear Bryant,
great game.
Yeah, he's intense, but I don't know if he's intense,
he's man.
Got that had that houndstooth hat or whatever it's called.
It's a little too tight on there, I think.
But it should be a lot of fun this weekend. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got the weekend skinny. That doesn't mean any of us get naked. I don't think, does it?
Ooh,
let's hope not. Let's hope not. Since Evil Q's sitting across from me, trust me, I don't need that to start my weekend off.
This is ACC Nation. Hey, Bubba, we need a favor. No, we don't want to borrow your girlfriend to impress the boss again. We just need you to take the PodTrack survey at accnation.com. Just click on PodTrack survey for us. Thanks, Bubba. We want to hear from you. Comment at accnation.com.
Be sure to sign up for our free ACC Nation newsletter. You get it in your email box every Friday, and it's free. All you got to do is send an email to accnation@gmail.com and say, I want to subscribe to your great newsletter.
Just send us a self-addressed stamped envelope.
No.
This is email.
Yeah, email. Evil Q is stuck in the past. He doesn't realize. Do you know we have these things called computers now?
Is that what that is?
That's what that is.
Bright, shiny lights.
Time now for the Weekend Skinny. You can check this out. We've got a preview of the game of the week, Florida State and Alabama, on the website at accnation.com. We've got comments about the other games as well. But the Evil Q and I will pick these games right now, and no doubt we will be wrong. Last week I was 5-3. The Q was 5-2. Because you did not pick the Thursday night game, Texas A&M and Miami, which you would have picked Texas A&M. You would have been 5-3, but you're not. You're 5-2.
I'm 5-2.
Last week. Overall this season, I'm 26-11. Ugh. Florida State, Alabama. We heard Andrew Carter a little bit ago. He actually thought Florida State maybe had better talent, but he was impressed with Alabama last week. He got a chance to see them against Georgia. He was impressed with them. I don't know. Florida State's offense just looked dreadful so far this season. They can't score. Their scoring offense is 10th in the ACC. I think they're something like 93rd in the country. They're just not scoring the ball. I'm not sure a week off is enough to fix those problems. I'm going with Alabama. I think Alabama wins this game. I've got them 21-13.
Leonard Skinner, Sweet Home Alabama.
And let's hear, though, the interesting thing about this game is these two teams haven't played for so long, since 1974. We have an audio clip here from Bobby Bowden at this week's ACC teleconference talking about how he wanted to play Alabama years ago. It didn't happen. Here's what Bobby had to say.
Well, as you said, we're playing Alabama this week. You nearly get the feeling it's a bowl-type atmosphere, playing away from campus, and a real excited crowd is going to be there. When I came to Florida State in 1976, John Bridges was athletic director, and we invited Bear Bryant to come down and play golf with us in a couple of days. So we came down. Of course, our idea was to try to get a game with Alabama. We were an independent back in those days, and Bear said, "No, we're not. I'm not playing Florida State. As long as I'm AD here, we're not going to play Florida State." So anyway, we never got the game with Alabama. But now all of a sudden, we are playing Alabama, and it'll be exciting for me. I don't know how other people feel.
You know, we're all happy about this game. Bobby's not the only one that's excited about this game. I think it's going to be a great game. The ACC needs it. Florida State needs it. Bobby Bowden would like to get it personally for him. So I think it's going to be a great game and a lot of fun. 5 o'clock kickoff on CBS on Saturday. Duke is at Miami. Miami, you know, you never know which one's going to show up. Duke, they're looking better. They're looking much better. Their offense looked good against Navy last week. Thaddeus Lewis, the quarterback, is playing well. You know what? Give them credit. I have ripped on Duke football for years, and certainly this season I've ripped on them. they've done a good job. They beat Northwestern, and they almost beat Navy. They're improving. Not enough to beat Miami, though. Miami wins this game 37-14.
I'll go with that.
North Carolina and Virginia Tech. That game's in Blacksburg. Virginia Tech has its problems with its offensive line, but here's a good place to heal against, no pun intended, by the way, against North Carolina. The Tar Heels, they're young. They're inexperienced. I'm not making excuses for them. They're not that good. They're not that good this year. Last week, T.J. Yates, their quarterback, finally struggled. He had played so well up until last week, and then he struggled, four interceptions, sacked four times. Virginia Tech, I don't know if they get healthy this week because they got a tough game at Clemson next weekend. That's going to be a test. That's going to be a test for the Hokies. This week in Blacksburg, Virginia Tech wins.
They got to get their minds straight. I think that's what's going on in Blacksburg. They have to get their minds straight. If they're going to start winning the rest of the season, this is a good place to start right here. And you're right. North Carolina has a lot of promise in the future.
UMass at Boston College. Great game from a regional standpoint if you're up in New England area. UMass is also good in Division I AA or football. What do they call this thing? It's like the playoff system or the champion. I don't know what they call it. The championship subdivision, something like that, because they actually settle it on the field, right?
Right.
The football championship subdivision, FCS. Anyway, that's what they call it. UMass is pretty good. Not good enough to beat Boston College.
Boston College,
I'm not going to say rolls in this game. I think it's maybe closer than some people think, but Boston College wins this game. Clemson at Georgia Tech. Now, before we get into this game, I want you to hear from Chan Gailey, the Georgia Tech coach. They're struggling. They're 0-2 in their last two outings. They lost to Boston College. They lost to Virginia. What's wrong with the Yellow Jackets?
There's not a simple answer to that. I mean, anytime you're not winning, there's reasons or excuses, whichever way you want to look at it. And now we feel like we've got to go work on a lot of little things that might make a difference whether you win or lose, and most games fall in that category. There's about 6 to 10 plays that you could look at and say if that had gone differently, if the ball had bounced differently, or if one guy had done one thing, you might be having a different outcome. I think we've got to just get better at several little things. Third down conversions would be an easy one to talk about on offense. Tackling better would be an easy thing to talk about on defense. Kickoff return would be an easy thing to talk about on special teams. So we don't lack for things to work on in practice.
So Georgia Tech has plenty to work on. The place to get healthy is not Clemson. The game is in Atlanta, but the Clemson team's playing really well right now. I'm not sure. I'm not sold on them yet, but they're playing really well right now. I think Clemson wins this game 27-17.
It's going to be a head-banging game.
Louisville at NC State. Louisville has struggled the last couple of weeks. They have absolutely no defense, but you know what? Neither does NC State. This game could be, and NC State has no offense either to go with it. So Louisville finally bounces back, wins this game after two losses, 57-24, an offensive shootout. Phew. Wow. Louisville scores 50 points. They have to score 50 points. That's all they do. They score, and against an NC State defense that has got a lot of problems, they're going to score points in bunches in this game. Mm. Your pick? You're going to go against the Cardinals?
No, I'll go with the Cardinals, but I tell you what, I'm sort of the opinion I was with that Maryland Wake Forest game. I think it's actually going to be a lot closer. I think NC State's coming up.
NC State stinks.
I think it's happening.
They stink. They're horrible.
Go Wolfpack.
Wolfpack stink. Go Wolfpack. Maryland is at Rutgers. Another big game for the ACC as far as non-conference games go. Let's hear from before we get into this pick. Let's hear from Ralph Fridgen. He talked about his Maryland team and how disappointed they were after that loss to Wake Forest last weekend.
Well, it was a tough loss for us last weekend, and the kids are feeling that loss, so are the coaches, but we have to put it behind us, and these things happen, and a lot of worse things are going to happen to us in life. And what's great about football is you have another week to change everything around. And I was very happy with our practice the last 2 days. We have to have a good practice today. I think our kids will show the character that they're made of and play a very fine game Saturday.
quickly about this game, a couple of comments off the blog about it, off ACCNation.com. Will, who I believe Will is from Minnesota, big Virginia fan up in Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He says, I just can't see Maryland beating Rutgers. They probably get handled easily. I hate to be negative about the ACC, but in my opinion, Maryland isn't good enough to do it. Believe me, I want to see Maryland win for the sake of the ACC. So a good email there from Will. And Fred Terp, our resident Maryland fan. I love this. He writes, I have been watching football for over 40 years. This is one, if not the most frustrating games I have encountered. Now, that's talking about Jordan Steffi's horrible game and the Wake Forest loss. Steffi is a head case. PH, he's referring to me, Patrick Hite. PH, what should I do? I have tickets to the Rutgers game. My heart says go, but my head says no. That's from Fred Terp. My advice to him was go. You got to go with your heart. You got to go with your heart.
That's right.
I think I also said if this whole ACC Nation thing doesn't work out, I'm going to have an advice column.
Dear PH.
You like that? Dear PH.
I love it.
Anyway, thanks to Will and to Fred Terp for their comments. Yeah, I'm sort of like Will. I hope Maryland wins. I think they got a shot. But in the end, Rutgers comes out on top. Rutgers has played nobody. So they haven't been tested this year. But I think they're good enough to beat Maryland.
Close game. That's what I'm thinking.
Close game. Okay, yeah. You got to give us a winner, though. Close game doesn't cut it.
Rutgers just pulls it out. Just pulls it out.
And finally, the last game, Pittsburgh at Virginia. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff on ESPNU on Saturday night. And before we get to this game, I love this. Classic Al Groh. After I was in Charlottesville, had a chance to be in the press conference. And here's what Al Groh had to say after the Georgia Tech win. Classic Al Groh.
Well, after three of those in a row, I think we can see what type of team we're fashioning. As I said after the recap of last week, there's a lot of character and a lot of tough kids on this team. And we're going to have, if we're successful, we're going to have a lot of games of that nature. We've had three in a row, and what they've shown in those three games is when the game is on the line, they won't crack. And they trust in each other, and they believe in each other. And it was all the players. They stepped up and made a lot of plays. And keeps us moving along. We certainly improved from last week. We've done that 3 weeks in a row. And we might be a little bit better than most people gave us credit for.
Again, that is a classic Al Groh saying that maybe the team's a little bit better than everybody thought. That's his way of saying, you people were stupid and we're playing good football right now. Which, you know, maybe he's right. Pittsburgh at Virginia. Virginia wins this game. Virginia wins their fourth game in a row. They're on a roll right now. They are on a roll. They're playing really, they're not great. There's still a lot of questions there, but they're playing really well. And Pittsburgh, not that good.
Yeah, as much as I like Dave Wanstead.
You like Dave Wanstead?
I actually
do. You're the one. You're the one.
I'm the only one.
Apparently.
UVA takes this game. I still say Groh's on the hot seat.
Groh is not on the hot seat. He's three wins in the conference. That does it. He's off the hot seat.
I don't care.
He's off the hot seat.
I'm putting him back on.
That is it for Weekend Skinny. Check it out on the web, accnation.com. All the picks and a good, I was going to say a good story on the Alabama-Florida State game, but I wrote it. So I don't know. Can I?
It's a great story.
Thank you. Thank you, Eagle, for your good way to say that. We'll take a break and be back after this.
This is ACC Nation. The kids are tired of eating Beanie Weenies, so ACCNation.com and Amazon.com have teamed up to put the best ACC team gear and accessories into your hands. Just click on the check at ACCNation.com. And now, the Sound and Fury.
Again, we can't say this enough. The buzz line is open, 206-202-1706. And if you have a comment, a question, thoughts on the ACC, we would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to sign up for the newsletter and subscribe to the podcast. You can do all of that at accnation.com. Time now for the Sound and the Fury. And to me, this is Redemption Weekend in the ACC. They need some wins because, frankly, they've stunk in non-conference games over the last few years. They've stunk this year. But I think the turning point was Miami beating Texas A&M. They won that game, and now it all goes in our favor. Starting this week when Florida State beats up on Alabama, even though I picked Alabama to win. My heart says Florida State will win this game. And that's, to me, that's how far the ACC has fallen. They need to beat a mid-level SEC team to get some respect. But you know what? You got to do what you got to do, and they need that win. So that's big. Maryland and Rutgers, they're playing. It's going to be tough for Maryland to win that game. But then go to New Jersey and beat Rutgers, because remember, the Big East hates us for stealing all their teams. So if Maryland can go to New Jersey and beat Rutgers, that would be big. Virginia and Pittsburgh, that's another Big East game. We can say this to them. Ha-ha! If we beat them. You like that? That's exactly what we'll say to the Big East if we win those two games. Although Louisville will probably wipe up the ground with NC State, and then they'll say, ha-ha! But maybe we can say it twice, and they only say it once. That's it. Boston College and UMass, that's a big game. I don't know. I think if Boston College loses that game, it's huge. If they win, it's just another win. So, I don't know. Check it out. It's a Sound and Fury. You can check that column out every Wednesday. Where?
Right here at accnation.com.
Thank you very much. Now, we have an announcement. We promised last week that we would have a big announcement. We do have that big announcement. The Evil Q is pregnant. No, that's not the announcement that we have at all. The announcement that we have is that for you who listen on radio, as of October 26th, that will be our final radio program. Now, we will continue. I don't want to freak anybody out. We're going to continue with our podcast. You can check it out at accnation.com. You can subscribe. Go to accnation.com, subscribe to the podcast now so you don't miss anything. But traditional radio, we've been on several traditional radio stations, and we love it. We thank them for their support. But you know what? ACC Nation is just moving in a different direction now, and management has decided that traditional radio, goodbye. Hello, the future podcast. So the October, what are you?
October 26th.
Yeah, look, the Evil Q is giving me weird looks. You don't like that? Goodbye.
I always give you weird looks.
Yeah, you do. That's just you, I think.
Yes.
No, but that's it. October 26th, our final traditional radio broadcast. We will continue on the internet, the podcast. So go to accnation.com and sign up for the podcast now. If you listen on the radio, you don't want to miss us, be sure you do that.
Looking forward to it.
And you can also download the show every week. It's better to subscribe. I think it's better to subscribe because then you don't have to think about it. And thinking's not my strong suit. But, you know, you can just go to accnation.com, click on podcast, and just listen to the show as well on your computer. You can download it to your MP3, your iPod, whatever you want to do. Whatever floats your boat, as they say.
Just go to iTunes, as the kids all say, creator.
The kids are all saying that, float your boat. Did you know that?
When did they start saying that?
Oh, the kids. They're just crazy kids.
Those crazy kids.
So anyway, again, accnation.com. Thanks to our guest, Rob Mahaney of the Good Old Blog on thesaber.com. And why is it called the Good Old Blog?
It's UVA's good old song.
We can all learn something every week on accnation.com. Also to Andrew Carter of the Orlando Sentinel for talking some Florida State football with us. Tiger Girl, Jared Hatcher, thanks for calling in. And you can do the same. Go to accnation.com and the buzz line number's up there. Have a good weekend, everybody.
This is ACC Nation, the nation's hottest multimedia sports franchise, ACC Nation, where you'll find worldwide access to America's hottest sports conference, the ACC, through our website, www.accnation.com, blogs, podcasts, radio, and at myspace.com/ACC Nation. ACC Nation is a production of Communications of Virginia, LLC. All rights reserved. I am the Evil Q. Ta-ta. Hey, Bubba, we need a favor. No, we don't want to borrow your girlfriend to impress the boss again. We just need you to take the Podtrac survey at accnation.com. Just click on Podtrac survey for us. Thanks, Bubba.